chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, beginning with verse 17. Let me give you a little introduction in the middle of the chapter, because Paul now begins a new section. And when I say a new section, what Paul is going to do now, he says, now that you know who you are in Jesus Christ, and now that you know the purpose of the church, why the church exists, this is now how you're supposed to be walking in the Lord. One of the problems that I not only have in my own personal life, but as a Christian, is that many times, you know, when you talk to people and you share with them and they share with you, one of the things that non-believers always say when you say, well, why don't you go to church? And they'll say, well, because there's too many hypocrites there. And you know, in a way, they may be right, but then at the same time, they're hypocrites too. And when I hear that, I'm concerned, because it's really important that we understand that we're not what we used to be. We're not what we used to be. And many times when I meet some of my friends or people that I've known from the past, and they begin to talk about the past, I always have to remind them and say, you know what? I don't know that person anymore. I used to be like that. But I want you to know that I am a new person now. And I want to share my new life with you now. Because there's a lot of times that people like to dwell in the past. You know, whenever you hear a song, if you grew up in the 60s, you know, there are certain songs when I was in Vietnam, when I listened to them, man, it gives me a flashback. I can tell you the time, the day, exactly when it happened. And it's really something that can not only be used by the enemy, Satan, because if you're not really strong, and music has a way of moving your emotions, and you can start getting depressed, or you can start thinking of your old life in things that you really don't want to think about, because you now have the new mind of Jesus Christ. This is important to understand. That's why whenever I'm driving my car, I'm listening to a tape or I'm listening to a CD. Why? Because I want to be edified. I don't want to be torn down by the enemy. And we have to be careful that we don't help the enemy by opening the door. You see? And I think it's important that there's no bondage, there's no legalism here where, you know, I mean, you say, well, what do I have to do? Go home and burn all my records? Well, there's no more records, but my CDs. You know what I'm saying? No, because you know what? God will speak to you individually as a believer. That's what's so cool about the Holy Spirit, because there are Christians like the Pharisees that are constantly doing what? Prejudging people. And they'll try to be the Holy Spirit and say, well, you know, brother, you shouldn't be smoking. You know, you're going to go to hell. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Why do you drink, or why do you cuss, or why do you do this? You know what? When things like that happen to me, you know what? I just keep my mouth closed and I pray for that person and I try to share the love of Christ with them. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, it's a better convictor than myself. What I do with people is I get people mad. And then they don't want to talk to me anymore, or they don't want to fellowship with me anymore. You want that door open, especially with non-believers. You don't have to partake with them in their sin or sins. You know, whenever I am invited, and we've had some reunions with our friends, and we all the, because there's a lot of Christians among us, we all go together. But we don't partake in their drinking, we don't partake in their language, and we don't try to act more spiritual than they are, and you know, well, now you know we're Christians, and we don't do that. We just kind of mingle in, and every opportunity we can, we share with them. You see? And sometimes we don't even share, but our lives speak louder than words. And I think we have to be careful so many times, especially when we come to Jesus Christ and we're trying to be a real witness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. My concern tonight, my concern is always, how we are living our lives, not in public, but privately. How do we live? With our children, with our grandchildren, with our friends, with our employees or employers. Because many times, like James said, you know, we are hearers but not doers of the word of God. James 1:22 says that. And at the same time, Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 23, as he was going toward Jerusalem, all of the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, came to him. And Jesus began to tell his disciples, look, whatever they say, listen, but don't do as they do. Why? Because they're hypocrites. You see? And I think that many times, people that know us, non-believer and believer, sometimes they'll say that we are like the Pharisees. Because we're saying one thing, but we're not doing what we say. And we have to be careful. Because what Paul is going to tell us now is that we have become alive in Christ Jesus, dead to sin. Therefore, put off the old man and put on the new man. Take off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. Very important. Because God wants to work in me. And he wants to work through my life. And so when Paul comes now to chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, he says, this I say, therefore, because of all this that I've been talking about, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the heathens walking in the emptiness of their mind. Notice what he's doing. He's describing the condition of your friends and your families and your enemies that don't know Christ. They walk in their emptiness of mind. They have an empty mind. I don't care what kind of a degree they have or what college they have been attending. You see, they can have all the smarts in the world, and you may not even have an education. But if you're born again, you know, you have a BA, born again of the Holy Spirit. You see? That's greater than a BA in any field. Why? Because of the power of God, and you have become a child of the light, and the knowledge and the wisdom that you're receiving is from above. It's not of this world. Why? Because Paul says that a lot of times the knowledge of this world is what? Is devilish. The wisdom of this world is devilish. It's of no value. They have an empty mind. And you and I know that people in the world, they're not happy. They think they're happy. How do they get happy? Buying things. Partying. And at the same time, you know, you can buy, you can sell, you can drink, you can party, you can fornicate, you can commit adultery. You can do everything that is perverted and you'll still end up in the same place, empty. Empty. There is no true satisfaction until you come to Jesus Christ. And you give your whole life to Him, completely and fully. I've learned that in my life. I mean, even as a child of God, and God's blessed me, you know, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and doing all these things, and traveling and seeing, you know, people get saved and all that, there are times in my life that I have to say, you know what, I'm empty. I'm empty. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. But it's because God has created each one of us with what? With eternity. You see? That's why we feel lonely. That's why we feel empty so many times, because nothing is going to please us here until we get there with the Lord. That's why Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As long as we are here, we are going to be Christian or non-Christian, dissatisfied. You see? And of course, when we come to Jesus Christ, He brings a certain satisfaction in our lives, that gives us peace and joy and fills us with His love. But when you look at the non-believer, you know, they're not truly happy. Paul is saying that, hey, look, you guys are now born again. Now you're a child of God. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be walking like the heathens are walking, or the Gentiles, in the emptiness of their mind. Doing what? Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Listen, this is what he says. These people have a heart problem. A heart problem. Jeremiah 17:9 said what? The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. It's a heart problem. It talks about a hardened heart. And you know what? In the Greek, it talks about a hardened heart. It's the hardening of the arteries. That's where we get our word. The hardening of the arteries. The world has a hardened heart, where we have a new heart in Jesus Christ. And it's so neat, because here Paul the apostle is saying that their understanding is darkened. They don't understand. How many times have you talked to people about the things of God and they'll kind of be staring into space? Or some will say prophetically, well, I read the Bible, you know. I say, oh, really? I like talking to people like that. You know, well, really, what chapter, what verse, what book? And then, you know, they get trapped because they don't know the Bible, you see. They don't know Christ. They don't know God. They don't know the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to stomp on them. But at the same time, we have to speak the truth to them. Why? Because we want the Holy Spirit to work in their lives as we're sharing with them. And we have to do it in love. Not in pride. Not in anger. You know? And pointing your finger at them and taking the Bible, you know? And I've seen people like that. You know, they're like, well, nobody's going to listen, you know, to that. But it's so cool that we can, you know, do whatever God desires to do as we are vessels of honor. And we say, okay, Lord, flow through me. Whatever you want to do, here I am. And I guarantee you there are people in the office. There are people in the supermarket. There are people at the bank. There are people everywhere that are waiting to hear about God. That's why wherever I go and sit, wherever I have to do, I always say, God, when I go in here, give me the opportunity if you open the door. You never know. And so Paul wants to make sure that not only we understand that their minds have been darkened, they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, which means they don't know God. You see, they don't know anything about God, and they are blind, and they have the hardening of the arteries, a hardened heart. That's what they have. And there's only one cure for that, not surgery, repenting, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and then confessing every one of your sins, and the Holy Spirit can do major surgery in your heart. And He can change you. That's what the Bible shares with us. Now watch what else He says in verse 19. He says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Notice that they sin without conviction, and also they boast about their evil. Hey, when you go to work after the weekend, what do you hear? I can remember when I was in the world. I can remember when I was, you know, when I became a Christian and I was still working in the world. I, you know, on the weekends, you know, everybody will boast about their weekend. Every evil thing they've done, and they're not ashamed of it. I go to the gym sometimes and I hear these guys talking. Amazing. Firemen. Businessmen. Policemen talking about their weekends. how they're cheating on their wives, how they're going out with their little girlfriends, how they're watching pornography. But see, these are the type of people that are there in the world, and yet we are the light, you know, of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We are a light on a hill. And so, you know, I could very easily get angry and start condemning these people. But you know what? You wait for the right opportunity. And when the door is open, man, give it to them. Full power. That's what I say. I'm saying, in love. You know? And I just share, hey, I say, you know what, man? I used to do that. I used to cheat on my wife. I used to go out with the boys and party it up, man, and, you know, do all kinds of weird things and stuff, you know. And they said, well, why don't you do it now? You know, I said, because I accepted Christ in my life. And I said, well, you're one of those Jesus people? No, I'm not a, let me say this. I am a Christian, and yes, Jesus is in my heart. But you know what? And they get so defensive. But you know, at the same time, they get convicted. And if they have a hardened heart, they don't even care. They say, nah. You just pray for that person. But Paul is warning us what kind of people are in the world. People that sin and they boast about their sin. They don't care. They enjoy it. And at the same time, their families suffer. Their children suffer. And eventually, it's going to catch up with them. And eventually, they'll end up in hell if they don't repent. You know, it's amazing to me how, you know, people not only are looking for the weekend, but they take care of their bodies and they buy the right clothes and they got the right car and the right talk. And, you know, they go out to the nightclubs and the bars and all these things and they think they're going to find, you know, a companionship. It's only for one night. Then what happens when you wake up in the morning? You got the same problem. Same problem. And that's why it's so important to understand that, hey, if you're a child of God, and God has really called you, He's going to talk to you in a moment. He's going to tell you how to behave in the way you should behave, not like these heathens. There has to be a difference in the church. And surely today, when you talk about the church of Jesus Christ, sometimes we don't see a difference. Why do I say that? And I don't want to get into my sermon next time, but one of the things I want to share with you is that concerning marriage and divorce in the church of Jesus Christ, you listen, there are people in the church already has gone over the world, and we have a bigger percentage today of marriage and divorce in the church. Over 50% already. Marriage and divorce. So something is wrong. Where people don't honor marriage. They're not willing to work it out. They're not willing to take the blame and humble themselves before God. You know? And what happens? Children suffer. Husbands go their way. Wives go their own way. And the family split in half, divided. And a house will not stand divided. Will not stand divided, only united. And unless the Lord build a house, it will never stand. God has to be the one in the center of the camp. Look what else he says. Not only in past feeling, giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness or filthiness and greediness, but you, now he's talking to the Christian, but you, that's you and me, have not so learned Christ. Hey, Christ didn't teach you this. What have you learned? If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, then you put off. Notice that. If you really have been touched by the Lord, if you say you're a Christian, if you say that you have been born again of the Holy Spirit, as John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 declares it, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. We're not the same person. I put off the old man I'm not the way I used to be. You see, we've heard him and we've been taught by him from this pulpit. We are being taught the word of God. And look what he says. This is important. Because when we talk about the teaching of God's word in our life, it's that there's a love that is to be motivating in my life so that men and women are moved not into greediness and filthiness and all these things, but through my life, I am going to move them into the love of Christ because of my life. Through love. As they see the love that I have for the Lord, the love that I have for my wife, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my friends, for my enemies. You see? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. True Christianity. And now he's going to deal with us. Watch what he says. That you put off concerning your former manner of life. Notice that you put off what? The works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 through what? Through 21. We're not walking in the flesh, but we're walking in the spirit. You see? Reckon the old man to be dead. Crucify the old man. You see, you have been crucified with Jesus Christ. So he says, put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful, notice, lust or desires of the flesh. That's really important, because if you're a child of God, then you should not be doing what Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says. Turn with me for a second. Chapter 5. Beginning with verse 16. Paul the apostle talking to the Christians in Galatia. Look what he says. I say then, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Which means what? That the flesh hates the spirit and the spirit is not what? A friend to the flesh. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Now these are the works of the flesh which are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, or drug abuse, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries or wild parties and like, which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty strong words that he says here. He says that if you're a child of God, and he's going to repeat it again in chapter 5, that if you're a child of God and you are walking like in previous times in your old life in the same sins, you might not be a Christian. You see? Because you're supposed to bring your sins to the cross. You're not supposed to be walking the same way you were in the world. But you're to be changed. Different kind of a person now. Through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that you have the natural man and you have the spiritual man, but in the middle you have the carnal man. And the carnal man is a person that has accepted Christ. They've been born again. But they are walking in the flesh, in carnality, in the appetites of the flesh. They got one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. They're divided. They're not fully, wholly committed to the walk of Jesus Christ. And those are the people that are never happy. They don't experience the joy of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the mercies of God. Why? Because they not only are divided, but they're miserable. they grieve the Holy Spirit of God that lives in them. It is not until you submit, it's not until you repent and you begin to walk in newness of life, which he's going to tell you in a moment. Look at verse 22. He says that you put off concerning your former manner of living the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I therefore beg you by the mercies of God, Paul says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. You see? In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were dead. You killed the lamb. You filleted it. You drained the blood out. Then you barbecued it and presented it to the Lord, half for the priest, a portion for me, and a portion for God. But in the New Testament, he says what? He says that you are to be a sacrifice that is living. He says, I want you to come to the altar, not bring your dead sacrifice, but give me your whole self, like the picture of the Indian that was in the church. And he was worshiping in this church, and he heard the sermon, he heard the choir. And all of a sudden, they came to the offertory, you know, when they take the offering up. And as they were receiving the offering, the ushers came by. They had this big old basket, and they passed it down. He was sitting down, and when the basket came to him, there was all kinds of money in it. And the Indian got the basket. He stood up, and he walked over, and he got up to the aisle, and the guys were looking like weird. He put the offering on the bottom of the floor. And then what he did is he looked around and he got into the actual offering. And he said, this is what I have to give to God. That's what Paul's saying. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants you. Your whole self. He wants your ears, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your heart. Everything that you have is his. You know what amazes me in the Old Testament? When the priest would actually go in and they would kill the sacrifice, not only would he take the blood, but at the anointing time of the priesthood, they would take the oil and they would put on the tip of their finger the oil on their ear, on their hand, and on their feet. You know why? The anointing of the Holy Spirit, what? When I put it on my ear, is so what? So I can hear the voice of God. When I put it on my hands, is to anoint my hands to do the work of God. And when I put it on my feet, is so that I can walk in the ways of God. That's what God wants in our lives. Types in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are to put them to practice. Like that Indian, he got into the basket. Why? Because he said, Lord, I don't have any money, but I got myself and I'm giving you all of myself. God wants every part of you. Not just part of you. Every part of your body. He wants you to serve him. Look what else he says. Not only the renewing of my mind, verse 24, and that you put on now the new man, which was created according to God in true what? Righteousness and holiness. Underline that. Be you holy, for I am holy. Hebrews 14, 10. Pursue holiness. You see? God wants you to be holy, to be set apart. I told you at the beginning of the book, when Paul said, you know, he's writing to the saints, we are saints. I'm Saint Raul. Call me Saint Raul. Why? Because the word means what? Hagios. It means separated. Yes, I'm separated from the world, separated to God. I consecrate my life to God. You see? We are consecrated people of God. We're not like the way we used to be. But we're new men, new women in Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be walking in true righteousness, not in self-righteousness. Walking right and walking in consecration to my God. Totally separated. What else? Verse 25. Therefore, Again, the word therefore that takes you back to the previous verses. Therefore, putting away, notice, lying. I don't think anybody has this problem, so let's go on. Lying. Lying can be devastating. Oh, but it's a white lie. Oh, really? Where do you find that at? White lie, black lie? Where is that at? No, a lie is a lie. How many times we lie and we're habitual liars and we don't even know it? Until somebody tells you, say, hey, wait a minute. It might be your wife. It might be your husband. And say, hey, that's not true. And because we're proudful, we don't want to go back and make it right. You see? Well, God can bless you. You got to stop lying. What do I have to do? Well, he tells you, start speaking the truth with one another and your neighbor. For we are members of one another. Don't lie to your neighbors. Don't lie to your wife. Don't lie to your husband, to your children, to your employee or employers. Speak the truth, even if it hurts. Why? Because if you don't, you're just digging a hole for yourself. You got to keep lying until your sin finds you out. Speak the truth. Stop lying. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife team, when the church gave everything they had to the Lord, and they went ahead and they gave part of it, and then they came, and Peter was standing there, and Ananias actually came first. And he said, oh, Peter, hallelujah, all that I have I give to God. And Peter said, hey, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit, which is God? He says, what do you mean? You didn't give everything to God, but you kept part of the stuff. And because you have lied to the Holy Spirit, there are people standing behind you. When you drop dead, they're going to carry you out right now. And you drop dead. That's in the New Testament. In the first church, people were killed because they lied by the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful not to lie. Why? Because we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, verse 26. And this one I think I'll skip. You know, when you come to your sins, be angry and do not sin. Now, there's nothing wrong with anger, godly anger, like where? Well, like in the book of John, when Jesus went into the temple and the money changers were there, what did Jesus do? Literally in the Greek, he says he took a whip and he started whipping people, man. Got them out. That was godly anger, righteous anger. What is mean by anger then, by being angry and don't sin? Well, there's an anger when you blow your top and you say things and you do things that you're going to be sorry, that is sin. You see? That is sin. And have we done it? Sure, we've done it. Hey, don't you remember what happened to Moses? When Moses now had been 38 years walking through the wilderness, he was so happy coming to the promised land. He got to Jordan, Moab there. He looked across. Oh, man, look at the promised land. How beautiful. I'm going to be there one of these days. And the people that he was actually carrying with himself, they already had been a pain in the past. Every time they murmured and complained. And most of them all died in the wilderness because of unbelief. And this generation that he had, they started thirsting once again. And he says, you guys want water? Just a moment, let me go talk to God. He went behind, you know, this rock and started talking to God. And God said, hey, give him water. What's that in your hand? Go up and talk to the rock. And Moses came out, and when he saw the people, he got angry. And he got really red face. He says, you rebels, you want water? I'm going to give you one. Get over here, rebels. And he got so angry. When he got to the rock, he had his staff, and he beat the rock once, and he beat the rock twice, and the water came out. He said, okay, drink water now. And the Lord said, excuse me, Moses, got to talk to you a little bit. Come behind the rock. Yeah, Lord, what's up? Well, Moses, are you getting that old that you can't hear what I say? What do you mean, God? Did I say, speak to the rock or beat the rock to death? Which one did I say, Moses? Speak to the rock. Then why did you beat the rock? Let me tell you something, Moses. Because you beat the rock, you're not going to be able to go across to the promised land. You're going to see it, but you're not going in. Moses was so depressed. He asked God over and over, and God said, don't ask me anymore. You're not going. Why, God? Well, Moses, when I talk to you, you are my representative to the people. You went out to the people and you started screaming and yelling, beating the rock. What did you do, Moses? You misrepresented me to the people. And what do they think? That God is angry with them, when I was never angry with the people. Whoa. When your kids see you, your neighbors see you, your employer, employees see you angry in this fashion, what are you doing? You're misrepresenting God. Be careful. Be careful what you do. Because you could be kept from the promised land. Not heaven, but from the blessings of God that God has for your life because you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Being angry, not in a good way, but in a bad way. Look what else he says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Oh, that's another one. What do you mean? Hey, listen. How many times have you been mad at someone and you've gone to bed in your anger and unforgiveness? For some of you, it might be 30 years. For some of you, it might be 2 weeks, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 20, 30, 40 years. Hey, Jesus says, and Paul says, that before the sun goes down every day, you got to make sure your heart is right with God. Taking care of business. I'm sorry for what I've done. You know what it's like when a husband and wife get angry with each other and they go to bed angry in the morning. There's no communication. There's tension. That tension can only be taken away when you make it right with God. And you make it right with that person. Then God can bless you. You see? That's what Paul is talking about. Look what else he says. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. Oh, look what he says. Every one of these things, if you don't take care of them, what are you doing? You're opening the door for the devil to harass you, to come into your, not into your life, not, I'm not talking inside, but allow him in your presence to harass you and to oppress you and to depress you. Be careful. Because if you do what is right, you can say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke thee, Satan, and Satan has to depart. And you don't have to shout, he's not deaf. Just tell him, I rebuke thee, Satan. What I have found out in lying or being angry, it's good that if you're feeling like you're going to be angry and you're going to say something that you can't take back, hey, go for a walk before you speak. Let God minister to you. So when you come back, you can build up and not tear down. Hey, we're talking to each other. Because we all fail. We all trip and fall. But we got to make it right. We got to make it right all the time before the Lord. Look what else he says. Let him who stole steal no longer. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, are you going to work and taking pencils and pens and paper or whatever it is and you say, it doesn't matter. It's the companies. They pay for it. That's stealing. Sorry. Now you're going to be accountable. That's stealing. You go to the market, oh, look at those sweet grapes. Oh, You've done it, I've done it. And then I'm going, oh shoot, that's stealing. You know? You have to be careful. Why? Because stealing in another way is this way too. Hey, how about robbing God of your tithe and offerings to the Lord? Well, I don't have enough this week. I think I'll borrow. Well, in the Old Testament, you borrow from God, you pay back 20% at the end of the week. Listen, if you don't give God what belongs to God, you're going to get in a bigger hole, a hole you can't get out of. I would never want to take anything from God. You see? Be careful when you go out with your employer. Don't take anything. Stealing time. Taking too many breaks. You see? That's stealing time. Taking pencils, taking pens, paper, stamps, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Because that's the way it is. You know, if you're not paying for it, you're stealing it. Now, if you go ask and they give it to you, hey, praise the Lord. But if you're taking it, that's stealing. What else? He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him work, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him that has need. You see, then you can help others. If you're honest and God blesses you, then you can help others. Verse 29. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Notice what he says. Notice our mouth and words jesting, saying dirty jokes, double meanings. That's jesting. That's a dirty mouth. Notice that. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary. And notice, building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, to your employees, to your employers. Notice what he says. God bless you. You see? Not the other word. You see? Be careful. I mean, this is good, good exhortation for us. This is doctrine for the Church of Jesus Christ. What else? Verse 30, here it is. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The seal is what? Ownership. The seal of ownership. When someone would go in that culture, and let's say I'm traveling from here to Canada. Let's see to the Orient. I would take my suitcase and I would have a stamp with wax and I would put it on there, and so it would be an identification. So when I get to the next port, I could say that's mine. Ownership. The Holy Spirit is the owner of our lives. But listen what he says. The Holy Spirit is grieved how? Everything that we've said, and there's more. Watch this. Verse 31. Let all bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. Being bitter at people. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But what? Here's the positive. But be you kind one to another. Be a unifier, not a divider. You see? Be you kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Hey, if Christ forgave you for such a debt, why can't you forgive? Why can't you forgive? You gotta forgive. Some things that we need to continue this week to think about. To go back to chapter 4 when you go home tonight. This week, prayerfully, go back and see how God will speak to you. Look again. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Notice, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. That's the measure. Just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you, we need to forgive. You cannot continue to be bitter, to be hardened of heart, and to hold grudges against anyone. If you're a child of God, you got to make things right. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you. Thank you so much for this great book. Father, and so much more in the next couple of weeks, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to move in us, to work through us. And Father, that you would just bless your people tonight, God. That as we not only have heard, we are now accountable, Father, to those words that we have heard, but help us to apply now these principles so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And if there's anybody here tonight that is not a Christian, somebody brought you here, somebody invited you here, you have a choice. You can accept him or you can reject him. He's not going to force himself on you. And if you would like to repent of your sins and make confession and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then what he's going to do for you, he's going to cleanse you and wash you by his blood and forgive every one of your sins and make you as white as snow. And he's going to give you the Holy Spirit and he's going to give you eternal life. As we worship, if there's anybody that wants to respond to salvation, the free gift of God, the grace of God, I want you to get up out of your seat. Walk onto the aisle, walk down the aisle, and come up here to the front, stand here, and I want to pray with you. Father, we thank you once again for these that have come. We pray for them. And those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.